With sugar and spice and a roll of the dice, you're listening to The Dice Girls.
I wish there was a, you know how like you have eHarmony. I don't even know if eHarmony is still a thing.
I think so.
Where it's like a dating site, but you go in and you answer all of these questions and they match you based on your questions. It's not just looking at people's pictures. But I wish that there was a site like that for video games where you could go in and put, because I have a very specific list of things I want to be able to do. It's pretty small.
You have one game that you play regularly.
Right. But I play Fallout 4 all the time. Mm-hmm. I like Skyrim. But, like, in Fallout, I know how once I get in the game, I know how to get, like, an OP weapon pretty much right off the bat kind of thing. And I don't use mods or anything. But, like, in Skyrim, I haven't figured out how to, you know, how to feel safe.
Yeah.
Basically. Yes. But I wish that there was a website that would match me with a video game. Because I like to, I like fetch quests. I know everybody hates fetch quests, but when I have tasks to do, even if it's, you just need to find these three things to build this thing for this person, that's my favorite. Yes. I love doing fetch quests, but I don't want like super, super scary monsters or people coming after me kind of thing. I do want some combat. But just kind of light combat.
Yeah.
But mostly fetch quests.
Right. But see, the big, huge problem with that is you don't like story.
Right.
Which is really hard to find in a video game.
Yeah. Either it's combat heavy or it's story heavy. Right. There's not a whole lot of in between. Or it's like a multiplayer game.
Right.
So it just throws everything out the window.
Yeah.
But, like, I was thinking about, like what kind of video games can you think of that are more task-oriented?
Like, Stardew Valley?
Ooh, yeah, that would be a good one for you.
Would it?
I don't think... I've never played it. I'm not sure.
The cozy games.
Yeah, I've played it. I don't think that's super story-heavy.
It's not. It just kind of comes in pieces.
Right.
It starts you off with a little blurb, basically, and then you're kind of free to move about the cabin however you'd like.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be a very cozy game, and it actually stressed me out at first because there's a daily clock. So each day runs maybe about 20 minutes. And so, like, you can only go to a shop during certain hours of the day.
Okay.
So, you know, or you have to get in bed before, like, 2 a.m. or 1 a.m. Otherwise, you'll pass out and you'll lose items. But otherwise...
Oh, that sounds kind of fun.
You run your farm, and eventually you can build up to automation so that you're not spending as much time, like, watering plants and stuff.
Uh-huh.
There's a mine with combat. So you're going down the levels of the mine, and each level is random, and you might run into a few monsters.
Okay.
And then there's a harder dungeon that you unlock later on. So if you find that the first dungeon, you know, they're the first mines that you've got powerful enough weapons, you're hitting everything in one shot, you're like, I can do, you know, something scarier than this.
Right.
Then there's a bigger one, but you don't really have to, like, move on to the bigger thing.
Okay.
You can play the game however you want. So I haven't played super in depth. I've only played, like, the first, I think I've only made it to year two. Like, I've never played so long that, like, I know there's content that I haven't seen before. But it doesn't matter that much. Like, you can, if you don't feel like going into the mines and fighting stuff that day, you don't have to. You can go into town and give people presents, or you might run into...
Fun.
Yeah, or you might run into a random cutscene because you've built up your relationship with the townspeople enough that you've unlocked a certain event. So, like, you'll walk into a neighborhood or something like that, and a cutscene will come out, will play out, giving you more backstory to the characters that live there. So, and there's fishing and You get a cute horse eventually. That's an important thing. Yeah. So it stressed me out a little at first because of the countdown timer of like the every day. But once I got over that and I realized that I don't have to be like maximizing my time every day, because mm-hmm. I was afraid that there would be cut scenes that I would miss or like events I would miss if I didn't do it in mm-hmm. time. But if you miss an event, the same event will play next year, or if it's tied to a certain date.
Okay.
Or it can be something that you could do like any day of the week, but mm-hmm. you know, you just happen to miss the time on that day, you could do it tomorrow.
Okay.
Or, you know, it was not as stressful as I was making it out to be, I guess. So that I think would be
that
a good one.
That sounds
for you.
Good, because it's like with my anxiety, like I'm mm-hmm. super anxious and then I'm playing Fallout. It's like, that's not helping me calm down,
right.
You know?
No. Probably not.
So can you do that on the PS4?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's on console. Sure.
Okay. Because I am doing I'm getting better at the MMO, the keyboard commands on how to move and stuff. Because we have like our super, we have our clubhouse now, our super big. Oh, you would not believe what happened.
I was going to ask you how City of Heroes is going.
Well, I kicked myself out of my own group.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I thought we were playing on a certain night, so I'm in there, and I went into our clubhouse, and so I messaged everybody, hey, where is everybody? And they're like, oh, it's tomorrow that we're playing.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, okay. So Micho, no, not Micho. Nat 20 Leather Spark Will came into the clubhouse to show he built a tank character for our game. Super cool. And then, so he has another game that he plays on Sundays or whatever. So I was just going to exit out, and so there's this red button that says quit, and I just hit quit. And so he's in the Discord and he's like, wow, whoa, Trigus is gone. He just, Kim just exited the game, exited the super group. So next time we play, I have to have my team members invite me back into my group. I'm like the leader.
Oh my gosh. So, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that was fun. So, but in the clubhouse, it's our super base or whatever, Mr. Sokar has opened it up to where there's big, open spaces. So I just spend a lot of time just running, jumping, moving forward, backing up, turning around so that I'm not like strafing to the side, using the correct keys. And I was surprised that I am getting used to the keyboard commands. I thought there's mm-hmm. no way I'm going to be able to do this, but I am kind of doing it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
That's
awesome. It really is. It doesn't feel intuitive at all when you start out on keyboard, right? I liken it to, for me, it was when controllers started having two joysticks. Mm. That was the same feeling for me. I don't remember what it was like to adapt to a mouse and keyboard because I started really young.
Okay.
Yeah. But getting, once controllers, I'm showing my age, but once controllers started having two joysticks and one was to look around and one was to move, I'm like, I'm never, mm-hmm. the landscape has changed and I will never adapt. That's what it felt like. Mm-hmm. But now, like, pretty much every game plays that way at this point. So it's like almost natural for, but the mouse and keyboard, it's a huge like hurdle for people, but it sounds like you caught onto it really quickly. Only after playing that way a couple times.
It was that time I noticed when I was in there when nobody was there that I was just kind of running around, and I'm like, okay, this is starting to feel natural.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of you just keep doing it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, she still hasn't completely mastered the controller either.
Wait a minute.
Noting her on the podcast.
It was literally just like 2 or 3 months ago that I was watching her play like Fallout or something. Uh-huh. And I noticed that she was looking and then she was moving and then she was looking and then she was moving. And I was
That's right.
I was like, you know, you can do both at once. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, you are looking and then you are moving. Like, you can, like, if you look and move fluidly at the same time, it will be more fluid and lot easier to, like, see stuff. And she's
Because there are certain things I struggle with because I look and then I move.
You know what it was? Right. She was when she needed to pick up an item, she was physically moving her character until it was like in her sights.
Oh, like,
instead of like just looking. like she's trying to pick up the phone on the table, she would like move her character until her crosshair was on it so she could pick it up. Instead of just, you know, like
looking, just looking down.
She was physically moving her character.
I still do that because there's like in Fallout, there's this one in Sanctuary, there's this bunker that you can go in, and there's a crate with some beer bottles in it, and so they're really hard to pick up, so I'm like moving my character around trying to get in perfect position to where it says take or whatever, mm-hmm, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think I need to have a class again.
You know what would be cool? If there was a website that gave you like a video game guru, and they're like, hey, is it your first time playing this game and you'd want someone to show you the ropes?
Right. Yes,
I will tutor you.
Yeah,
because like I told Alexa, I said it would be so cool if I could just have you, just your face in there.
Right.
Walking, as I'm walking through and you're like, oh no, wait, don't go in there. You're not quite ready for that yet. Yes. Turn left. Yeah. Now walk down to the river. Like, like a guide.
Mm-hmm.
I would pay to have the little face and a guide to play games.
That would be a cool service.
Yeah.
Like so them. Anybody out there wanna...
Videogameguru.com.
But, you know, you'd really have to have a lot of patience. Like, if you were working with me.
We could set it up like a matching service. And we could have people who are like, master at Fallout. And I will help people at Fallout. Yes, I'm a master at Fortnite. And I'll help people. I'm a master at Call of Duty. Like, it could be almost like the matching service you were talking about.
Yeah.
But, like, matching, like, really experienced players with brand new players.
And it would be cool if it was like driver's ed where the teacher could take the wheel when stuff gets scary.
Right. Have a brake on their side.
Like, whoa. Where are you going? Man. You are not ready for that.
They hit their space bar and your character stops in their tracks.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're like, that's a cliff. They're like, that's just orange juice. You don't want to try to pick that up. Don't go over that cliff.
I like it.
I think that's a great idea.
I would actually probably go kind of well with your idea of a website that like recommends games to you.
Yes. Yeah. That's the first step. You answer this questionnaire and then actually you play little mini games to see which...
Play the demo.
To see which things you like, and then they can take bits and pieces from the different games.
Right, and then could be like, oh, are you interested in playing this game? Well, how about, why don't you get a guide to go along with it?
Yeah.
Oh, or like they just send you games. Like kind of like those style services.
Oh, yeah.
Where like
Stitch Fix.
Yeah. We're not sponsored, so
no, we're not.
Say it.
Hit us up, Stitch Fix.
They have to contact us for a sponsorship for me to say their name. But stuff like that where, you fill out a little questionnaire and then they'll send you something in the mail. And it's like, okay, how does this work? And you send back whatever's not working for you.
Yes.
Right.
Or maybe you have a coach or a guide who you talk to and you're like, I couldn't do this game because, or I didn't like this game because, and send it back. And then they're like, okay, well, then I'll send you this game.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you found your, like, game that you spend 200 hours in.
Right. Yeah. Kind of like how Netflix used to be when they'd send you physical DVDs.
Yeah, that was a great greatest.
I really loved that.
Yeah. Because that was like an event.
It was so much fun.
You got excited to check the mail.
Right.
Yes. Yes. To be like, oh, the next season of my show that I'm watching is here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Disc 4 out of 27.
Right. I did the Gamefly too. Oh,
yes.
Yes. We did too. We did Gamefly.
I forgot about Gamefly too.
We didn't do it for very long though, I don't think.
No, but it was a good way to try games before you buy them.
Well, and at that point, we only had a Wii. That's right. There's not a whole lot of options.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
This conversation has made me realize that games, do they still do demos? I don't.
Yes.
Okay.
There are digital demos. Like, I'll download demos for my games all the time.
Oh, okay.
Like on Switch, I know they have demos. I'm sure PlayStation and Xbox do.
It's just been a long time since I've seen a demo.
Yeah. They're not as common now, and I think it's because demos are kind of a double-edged sword for the producers of the game, because you could play the game and find out you like it, or you could play the game and find out you didn't really like it, and the people who find out they didn't really like it aren't going to spend that $60 to find out that they didn't really like it.
Right.
So
Also, a lot of games are being released like unfinished.
It's like they're
still working up on it, like right up until release date, and it's like, can't really have a demo when
your game's not done.
Yeah.
So they are actually less common than they used to be.
I didn't realize that until this conversation, but it's been a long time since I've seen.
I don't think I've ever like played a demo before.
I remember this is gonna date me. When my sister got a PlayStation, like the original PlayStation. It wasn't even called PlayStation 1.
Right.
It was just called PlayStation. Yes. She had a Tomb Raider disc for it. And it also included demos to these two games. And one of the games was like, I don't know, because I never actually played it, but I loved the demo so much that I played the demo over and over again. And it was like this little lizard guy. He was like a detective, I think, or something. Gex, is that his name?
Oh my goodness.
Gecko, and he just runs around and like, you can pick up little, like, I think they were paw prints or something.
I'm not sure.
It was this little mystery solving gecko or lizard or something. Probably Gex. I bet you're right.
I played Gex 64. Okay. So, and he was like a lizard or gecko, I guess. He was a gecko that, He was more like a spy, I think, than a detective.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
But he wore like a James Bond style, like just a black and white suit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I said Gex, it might be.
I bet that's it.
But
I loved the demo for that game so much.
I forgot that they did game demos on the disc like that.
Yeah.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
That's so cool to remember. You remember how generous game developers used to be?
Right? They were like, here is this whole entire game.
Yeah.
And here's a quarter of another game.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the closest I've ever came to playing a demo is like when you're on like the PS4 and the PS5, when you buy a game and you download it, it'll download like a quarter of the way through, and you can go into it and start playing it up to a certain point.
Oh, nice.
And it angers me because I'll forget that it's not done downloading. Oh. And then it's like, I can't go on any further. Because I remember when I got God of War Ragnarok, I thought, like, I guess I just hadn't checked the progress bar, and I thought, oh, cool, it's done. And so I'm playing it, and then it's like, I get to a certain point, and it's like, to continue playing, finish downloading the game. And you're like, are you kidding me?
And you're like, it still has 102 gigs left.
Yeah. It's got 18 hours left to download.
Yes, man.
What was that game that Ian and Aiden used to play? Well, I think you played it too, and it was some horror game, but it was never a finished game, but it was super scary.
Yes, that was a demo. PT Silent Hill.
I knew exactly what it was going to be.
What is it? Say the whole thing.
PT, it was Silent Hill, right?
Yeah, PT Silent Hills.
Something like that. It was a playable teaser. Okay. Which I didn't find out that PT stood for playable teaser until like years afterwards. Are you kidding me? This whole time? But it was just the game never got released, you know. Aww. It got shelved because it was Guillermo del Toro, the director, and was it
Hideo Kojima?
Yeah. We're working on a game together, and it was just like the teaser was, it was just this hallway. And I don't remember everything about it, but like you just keep like going in circles and stuff would pop out, and you could go into like the bathroom, and then there was like a code you had to figure out. But they played it all the time.
I never played it because I can't do scary games.
Yeah, I never
played it. I will watch someone else play scary games. Right. So I did look at YouTube videos of other people playing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like this looping endless hallway. Mm-hmm. And like you're going through a door, and you know, the first time you're going through this door, you're expecting to come into a room or a new place, but then you find yourself back at the beginning again.
Right.
And then there's small changes, mm-hmm. there's whispering voices, there's spooky stuff happening. There's grotesque, there's things that, you know, we probably shouldn't even mention on the podcast because it's a scary game.
Uh-huh.
And it's, I recommend it to nobody.
Right.
I recommend it to nobody.
I don't think you can get it anymore. I think they took it off.
Yeah, they took it off. So from what I understand, there was controversy because it was never actually supposed to, it was never like a greenlit game.
Right.
It was just that Kojima really wanted to make that game.
Right.
And so he kind of threw it out into the world without any permission. And then it was really hyped up, and he wanted that reaction from the fans, and he was hoping that that big reaction from the fans of everybody loving it would would have his bosses say, okay, we'll let you make this game.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Kojima is the guy who did the Metal Gear Solid games.
Right.
For anybody who doesn't, so he did the Metal Gear Solid games, so he's already like a really big, well-known person in the gaming industry, but I think the Metal Gear Solid games got like pulled out from under him or something like that.
Yeah,
and so that's when PT was made.
I remember there being some drama there.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yes. I've never played Metal Gear Solid, but I've watched I've watched someone else play Metal Gear Solid, and I would love to play Metal Gear Solid if I was any good at that kind of game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can't. I think I just panic too much a little. If it's like an open world combat game, then I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. Right. But something about sneaking around in hallways, it's not made to be scary. It's like a military setting, and you're sneaking through hallways, and you're trying to get from point A to point B, and you can get through without killing, maybe if you can sneak through, you know, without alerting anybody. At least this is what I remember of the first game. Mm. I can't vouch for the other games because while I remember some like plot points and stuff, I don't remember the gameplay as well. But something about like is having to stay out of sight. I think it's the being caught part where I start to panic and flounder, and I can't. And then I just can't like shoot straight or do anything in the game anymore.
Right.
So I haven't actually played the Metal Gear Solid games, but I would like to. I just
much pressure.
And I think that's the same way I feel about horror games, where like I can't because I know it's a horror game. I know it's gonna try to scare me. Right. Like I know exactly what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But as soon as it happens, whether it's a jump scare or just a ghost that came out and said, "Hello, how's your day?"
Right.
You know, regardless, I'm gonna like shoot the ceiling.
Because I remember when Alien Isolation was about to come out.
Oh, I hate
and,
this one.
Yeah. but we were over at a girl's house who used to live on the corner, and we were Aiden. Aiden was showing us the trailer.
You're the recurring tell him to listen today.
Yes. I talk about you a lot in this one. But he was showing us the trailer for it, and the girl's mom walks in, and she's like, oh, what are you guys watching? And we're like, oh, it's this trailer for this horror game that is coming out, and we're all kind of excited for it. And she goes, yeah, I don't see how a video game can be scary.
Oh.
And we're like, we're watching the TV as it's just like this horror footage of like, you know, you're in the locker and the aliens like going by, and it's like, are we watching the same thing?
I think it would be different if she was playing. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because yeah. I don't like the horror games where you can't like fight back.
Oh, like what's that one game where you just hide from the
Amnesia?
Yeah, no. It's where you're in the
you're in an old broken down house or an institution or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, you've got Frame.
No, it's got you've got a like a camcorder and a flashlight, and that's like
Fatal Frame.
No,
not when you literally have like just a camera and you're like a small girl. Like,
this one,
yeah,
no, thank you.
This one was huge, like 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago.
All I remember is watching Ian play it, and he had to hide in this locker.
Yeah.
And then you see the creepy guy out there, and you just have to hope it doesn't open. And you you have no weapons.
Yeah.
You can't defend yourself.
And you're in an asylum.
No, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, you're in an asylum, but I know it's not Amnesia, because I've, like, have seen.
Yeah.
I don't like the games where it gives you, like, floppy control of the body. You know what I mean?
Outlast.
Oh, okay.
Floppy control?
Like the physics,
like the where they make the bodies all floppy and like hard to control, where the arms are flapping everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that. It's very frustrating to me.
We played
to play
a little
those.
Bit of Octodad. I think was the game. Like that.
I forgot about Octodad.
I do love that one.
But that's the same kind of gameplay, right?
Yes, as the like type of physics that I usually hate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I told it to move this way. It should move this way.
Yes.
If part of your gameplay is how frustrating it is to play the game, I don't want it.
No. Right? I agree.
Yeah. Except for Octodad.
I think I just played the very beginning and was like, okay, and that was enough for me. I don't think I ever actually played very much.
Yeah, I never played it. I remember when it like first came out and it was huge and all the YouTubers were playing it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like you're an octopus dad.
Okay.
And you have to like control all the tentacles and like do like daily tasks and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, make your kids breakfast and
you're like pretending to be a human. You have like a wife and kids.
Oh my god. And doesn't stuff stick to you really easily because of your suckers on your
tentacles? Yeah. So you're trying to shake off the toaster.
Exactly.
And, and there's a 2-player mode where like one of you controls the feet and the other controls.
No.
That's how I played it.
That's pure chaos.
That sounds
played 2-player mode with Courtney, and we laughed our way through the whole. It was chaos. We're yelling at each other, like, and laughing. Uh-huh. Go this way. No, I meant to go. Oh no, you grabbed this. You should have grabbed. Like, it is just pure hilarious chaos.
That
when you 2-player Octodad. We played it after It Takes Two because we really enjoyed It Takes Two.
I heard that one was really good.
It's amazing. Please play it. It's so much fun.
What is it about?
It's about, the storyline is actually kind of weird.
And sad.
And sad in some parts, It's about this girl, her parents have announced that they're getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And she has these like little... she has a little doll made out of clay. And for her mom, she has this little, like, wooden, like, one of the art posing dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And so she, like, makes, and she accidentally, like, she cries on them. And, like, they wake up in those little tiny bodies. And they have to work together the whole game. Like, It Takes Two is not a game you can play by yourself. You literally have to have a second player.
Second person. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you literally have to work together as these tiny little dolls.
How cute.
To get back into your human bodies after you've decided to divorce. And so it's a lot about like working together.
Compromise and teamwork.
And they
That's
do
cute.
Such a fantastic job of like the roles having to rely on each other, and like just the different places you go and the different tools that you get in each section to do different things and how those work together. Like in the early gameplay, May, the wife, she gets a hammerhead because you're tiny, and the husband, whose name is now escaping me, he gets nails. And so, like, he has to shoot the nails to a spot so that she can swing from the hammer off of it. Like,
cool.
It's really cool, and it's a lot of fun.
That does sound like a good one.
Yeah, it's a really good game.
It looked like a really creatively designed game,
it
too.
Is it very creatively me a little bit designed. Of,
I don't know if you've played Little Big Planet.
I didn't. I haven't, but it's I want
style,
to.
The style of it kind of reminds me of that. I guess a little more realistic than Little Big Planet, but take that with a huge grain of salt, because like It Takes Two is like it's a real world setting,
yes,
type of thing, but it's very fantastical stuff,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, your like guide is this really obnoxious talking book. he's like a romance book that their daughter had bought to help them like figure it out. And so he's like pushing them to like work together, and he's a little bit of the antagonist, actually. it's a really good game. So that's why I played Octodad, because I had so much fun with It Takes Two.
What's the game that everybody talks about where you're following the cat, or you're the cat?
Stray.
Wow. is that a cozy game, or is
I think it classifies.
I haven't played it, but from what I understand it, I don't know if it would classify as cozy, but I guess it depends on your what the actual definition.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a hard definition of a cozy game.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's, I'm pretty sure it's not like, you know, guns a-blazing or anything like that. Stray, you're just playing as a cat, and I think you're wandering around the city, and you have a cute little backpack on.
Yeah.
And that's about all I know about that game.
Okay.
Yeah. It's technically classified as an adventure game.
Oh.
Okay. But I bet it would be...
I think you
were thinking that it might be something I'd be interested mm-hmm. in. I may try the Stardew Valley first.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Stardew Valley, you should be able to get like on a sale easily.
Yeah. Oh, you have to pay for it.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was a game designed by only one person.
Oh,
as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he built the entire game from the ground up. It was just one person.
That's
my
cool.
goodness. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Right? Yeah. I'm pretty sure it took him a long time.
But I would imagine
he did it all himself.
Do you read? Do any of you read books?
Not as much as I would like.
Okay.
Nice. Not like actual published books.
Right. You read fan fiction.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
I just finished a book that was recommended by John Green. John Green is the TikTok brother, right?
I hate that they're the TikTok brothers now. I hate them so much.
Well, he wrote...
They're the vlog brothers.
He wrote the story about...
The Fault in Our Stars.
The Fault in Our Stars. Yes. I don't want to give it away because it's an old book, but someone could be currently reading mm-hmm. Fault in Our Stars.
Right.
But John Green had recommended a book called Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. Have you read that? And
nope.
it's about these game developers that connect, and they're, you know, working on this game, and their, you know, trials and tribulations is really good.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, it's a good book.
That's really cool.
So you don't read actual, like, physical books anymore?
I don't read as much as I would like to anymore. Like I picked up another series that I wanted to get into, but I just like I need to work on my attention span.
Yes.
I need to work on rebuilding my attention span again. Because before that I had tried to pick up the Dark Tower series because mm-hmm. I'd heard such good things about it, and I couldn't make it through the first book, which I hear that once you make it through the first book, then like, oh, it's, you know, it's way better or
right.
something.
Uh-huh.
But like, you still have to make it through the first book.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I never really got into that like I wanted to. I'm trying to remember the name of the series that I just picked up. I've only read like the first few pages because attention span. But
uh-huh.
it was really good so far. Like, I like fantasy, like adventure,
mm-hmm. okay,
types of books. Mm-hmm. So like, I read Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. I read a lot of Redwall. Redwall books are like young adult novels that are about mice. I guess it's about small animals, and they're it's like a village of animals, I guess. Mm. I'm trying to remember. I read them quite a while ago, but like the main characters of Redwall books, I think, are almost always mice, and then they live with like other animals, like weasels and groundhogs and like other small animals in this little mm-hmm. community, and they do like fantasy adventures, so you know, sword fighting mice and stuff.
Oh, okay.
yeah. I can't think of the name of the series that I just picked up, and it's driving me crazy. But this dude has, I've only read the first few pages, but it starts out with this guy that has this coat that he turns inside
Joseph
out.
Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
No. No. No, but maybe it may as well be.
That was so good.
He turned his coat inside out and it became a different coat. And then he turned it inside out a couple more times to find the coat that he wanted.
Oh.
It changed every time he turned it inside out.
Wow.
So
cool.
And the setting is like, I don't know, it's like different dimensions or something like that. I'll have to, let me just like try to pull up the name of the book, because
okay.
it's rude for me to talk about a book and then never reveal the title of it.
Yeah, people will be like, oh, that sounds perfect for me, but then what's
they search guy with the coat.
And they come and just Joseph. Technicolor.
What happens if he leaves a 20 in one of the pockets?
Oh.
He has to keep flipping it until he can get that 20 back.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, I have the money for my
somewhere.
Meal.
Just Sarah, hang on.
Just hang on.
It's in my other coat.
Yeah.
Do you read, like, is it a physical book that you got?
It's a physical book, yeah. Otherwise, I could just pull up Kindle real quick. And
right,
like,
right.
Because I don't so much do, like, physical books anymore. I'm all reading on my phone. Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you reading right now?
So I'm doing two right now, two different series. And I've restarted the Harry Potter series because
okay.
it's one of my favorites. And there's this girl on TikTok who is reading through them for the first time.
Oh.
Kiara, I think her name is. Her reactions are incredible. And they just make me want to read it all
and
over again.
And relive it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like going back through.
Yeah.
And then the other one is... it's kind of an unusual choice for me, maybe. I'm revisiting the Left Behind series, which is, like, when I was growing up, it was huge in my life because, sorry for a moment, I don't know, are
no,
we going to...
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. I'm talking about religion a little bit. That's why I'm apologizing.
Oh, okay.
And so I don't know if we need to keep this or whatever. Fine. I was raised in the Southern Baptist Church, and the Left Behind series is about, it's a fictionalized series about what... happens to this group of fictional characters after the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, it was a hugely important like book series to me. And even though I no longer connect with that religion, I remember having very fond memories of just like the adventure and relationship aspects of the story. Like mm-hmm. the story is written in a way where all the characters' lives weave together in very interesting ways that I love. And so I'm kind of like revisiting it and seeing
okay.
like... still getting that love of these characters and their relationships and being able to see other parts of it with like fresh eyes.
Right.
It's a really cool experience.
Yeah, it's fun to go back and reread stuff like The Shining, you know.
I never read the book.
You didn't?
No, how is it?
You don't want to read it. It's really scary.
I've heard that there's a lot that the movie left out.
Yes.
There's a lot of like paranormal or... fantastical elements to it, like I think the boy had more powers or something like
that. he had a lot of powers, and it's just really scary.
Yeah, how old were you the first time you read that?
I think I was probably, let me see, what was the release date, because my mom was a huge Stephen King fan. Release date of The Shining, the book. Okay, so 1977, I would have been 10.
Oh my gosh.
When I read it, you know, because I had already, at this point, I think I had already read Carrie, and my mom would just pass books on to me and everything. Dang. So, yeah.
So she read it first?
Yes.
And then she gave it to you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Did you find the name of your
book series?
Yeah,
the name of your book series.
I did. So the series is called the Shades of Magic series. Mm-hmm. It's a trilogy. And so I started reading the first book. And so the first one's called A Darker Shade of Magic.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah, and I know there's like portals between different types, different Londons. They uh-huh. call them like Red London and like I think Black London or Dark London or something, and then mm-hmm. White London, and mm-hmm. they all have different magical properties is what I'm getting from it. But like I said, cool. I haven't really read it. So
you know what? I found that since I got off of social media, TikTok and Twitter were mm-hmm. my biggest, I have found that my attention span is returning.
I bet.
Like, because now I can sit and I can watch a show and not have to pause it. Well, I have to pause because most of my shows have subtitles that are in Korean, mm-hmm. so I can't just have it playing in the background. But I don't pause my show to get on the phone to do stuff, so I can just sit and enjoy it, which mm-hmm. I haven't been able to do for years.
Right. Yeah.
So that's really nice.
That is really nice. I would like to get closer to that because I feel like my attention span has been wrecked.
Yes.
Like, I will watch a show in the background and be playing on a game on my phone at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And if I... It feels like sometimes if I can't be doing two things at once like that, it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I don't like it.
Yeah. No.
It's getting bad.
See, I really surprised myself because I just started watching a new show. And usually I'm very much like that. Like, mm-hmm. I have to, like, be on my phone or whatever. But I've just been watching the show.
Nice.
And then also with video games, like, I used to always have to have, like, a YouTube video going or something on the side. But... The whole time I played Baldur's Gate, I'll try to have a YouTube video on, but then I'm not concentrating mm-hmm. on the game, mm-hmm. and so I'll turn it off, and I'm just playing the game. So
nice.
It's been, I don't know what changed. Maybe my prefrontal cortex is almost done developing, and so
she's 24
nice.
Now.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting close to mm-hmm. being formed. 25.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense that the decision-making center of your brain is not fully formed until you're 25.
Right.
Yeah, that seems like a design
flaw.
It's
just, yeah.
That's a bug, not a feature.
Right. Yeah, it should be the first thing done.
You would think.
Yeah.
It you seems would important. Think.
Yeah. The impulse control and everything
that's
in there. It's
probably not as many people being pushed off cliffs, I would think.
Probably. Right. Probably fewer bushes burned. You know? Fewer choir pit nets.
You wouldn't even need a net. No net.
Right.
You could go through life without a net.
Yeah. That reminds me of in Twilight, in Breaking Dawn, when Renesmee is born. She's born, her brain fully developed.
Right.
Full set of like adult teeth.
Oh, gross. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so horrific. It's so horrific. Yeah. And I don't know if they explain it in the movies.
Probably not.
But I just remember reading, because I read that book when I was like... 11, 12.
Oh, you were the prime age.
I was like, what is going on in this book? Why is there a fully formed child?
Yeah.
Infant child. Yeah.
I'm imagining like adult sized teeth, so like a baby with dentures in.
Yeah. That was.
It's wild. Scary because, like, now that looking back on it, it's like you have a fully formed brain. But you can't hold your neck up yet. Like,
right.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
I think she could, though. Because, like, She, like, made the conscious decision to bite Bella. Like, when, oh, right. like, she, like, you know,
that's later. That's right. I forgot about that.
Chomp. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. She, it was just, yeah. So weird.
That is weird.
It was one of the weirdest, like, finales of a series that I've ever seen. Was, like, the whole time you're reading this book and you're just like, what
is going on?
What? Why? Why?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then, like, the whole time they're gearing up for this huge fight. And then it just doesn't happen. Everybody turns around and goes home.
Yeah.
It's like, well, never it's mind. Like, she's, like, you've been building this,
yes.
this fight up for
four books, three books.
Yeah. And then it's just, you get to it, you think you're going to get it. And then everybody turns around and walks home. The way they did it in the movies, though, was fantastic.
Did they play baseball?
No. I do distinctly remember Vampire Baseball in one of those movies.
Vampire Baseball.
In
the first one.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That is not the end-all, be-all climax of it. No, in the...
Like, we're not going to fight. Let's play baseball instead.
We're going to play baseball to solve our differences.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the way they do it is... Because in the book, they just talk it out and then they leave. But in the movie, there's a vampire with the power to see the future. Her name is Alice. And Alice goes up to the leader of the Volturi, the bad guys, and is like... So, like, you think the negotiations don't work and everybody starts fighting. Huge characters are dying. Huge
battle scene.
It's, like, it's...
Bloody and awful and shocking and, like, yeah. I can't believe that one died!
Right, yeah. Like, these huge major characters are just getting murked. And then when the lead bad guy dies, you see, it's, like, showing his eye and it pans out. And then you realize the whole time it was just... Alice was showing him the vision of what would happen if they did fight. And she's showing him, you will die if you choose to have this fight. And then they all go their separate ways.
Uh-huh.
But.
Okay.
Because we watched it in the theaters. And it was.
Me too.
Because the whole time I'm like, this did not happen in the book. This did not happen in the book.
You can hear the whole theater just like buzzing.
Yeah.
And like, freaking out.
Yeah.
It was such an experience.
I'm pretty sure I saw it with you.
Yeah.
But you hadn't read the book yet.
No. Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure you did read all of the books.
Yeah, I did read all of them, but it wasn't till later, I think.
Yeah.
And then after you read the last book, you're like, I let you read this.
Right. Same with my mom in The Shining, but she knew.
That's so funny.
I mean, she let me read all the books, but then she didn't let me see Breaking Dawn Part 1 because she just happened to go to the movie theaters and see it before I was going to go. And she's like, no, you are not going to go see that movie. I'm like, but I've already read the book.
Yeah.
And I still don't think I've seen the movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
That's funny.
And you were probably still in daycare.
Yeah, because I was like, when did Breaking Dawn Part 1 come out?
Yeah.
I'm thinking that you're a fully-fledged adult at this point.
No, we watched...
2011!
We watched the whole series.
We've talked about it, but we haven't sat down and done it. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because I saw the first... Twilight movie in theaters when I was 8 years old.
Oh my goodness.
Because my friend from elementary school, we were in second grade, his mom was like a huge fan of Twilight and she was going to take us. And I remember like a commercial for it had popped up on the TV and mom was like, are you sure you want to go see that? Like, it looks kind of scary. And I was like, no, yeah, it's about vampires. I love vampires. Let's go.
Yep.
And she's like, okay.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I was the fully formed adult.
Okay.
I was cringily into
Twilight?
Oh my God, yes.
Oh, really?
I went to all the premieres with like homemade t-shirts with glitter glue that said like team whoever. I was Jacob. I was team Jacob. Oh, I know.
Okay.
I hate to admit that now. I used to have a life-size cardboard cutout of Taylor Lautner.
Oh, my goodness.
I had a life-size cardboard cutout of Zayn Malik.
Yes, she did. We still have it. It's under the house.
It's so fun to have life-size cardboard cutouts of people.
It is, yes.
What do you do with a life-size cardboard cutout when you're getting rid of it. Do you give it to someone?
I don't remember what I did with it.
Do you find someone else? Do you
find get a home?
Do you get a new home? Yeah. Do you rehome him?
Right.
You know? I might have just rehomed him with my friend Rachel. Just leave him on someone's doorstep. Right?
Yeah.
I in wish... a basket. He like clearly sticks out of the basket and everything. Yeah. On the just foot.
Front but... steps of the fire department.
Yeah. Totally. Well, we had lots of fun with that cardboard cutout. I used to leave it in different places in my house because I knew it would scare my mom anytime she'd walk into a room.
That was the same with the Zane cut.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you'd put it like at the foot of the stairs.
I do not remember
like
that.
Like when I'd be going down in the basement, I'd come around the corner and there's Zane standing there.
Yes. Oh. We never owned cardboard cutouts, although I did have one of my college teachers did have, I believe, cardboard cutouts of the full original Star Trek cast.
But, nice.
And he was very proud of it. I respect that man more now than I did when I was in that class.
Right.
And just for his brazen ability to admit openly to a bunch of like 18 to 20 year olds that he has a full set of the original Star Trek crew. But anyways, that actually, the leaving the cardboard cutouts to scare people reminds me of my sister, and her husband. I don't know if they knew how they ended up with a Justin Bieber t-shirt, but but they had one, and they would Bieber each other. So they would leave it in a spot, so like they would go to open the silver drawer or something, and they're like, "Oh man, I got Bieber." And then that person would have to hide it for the other.
Oh, right. The door. That's so fun.
So fun.
I love that. I want another life-size cardboard cutout, and I don't really care who it is at this point. It's just fun to have.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, mine, how did it broke. Like, Zane's, like, folded in half, and I don't remember how that happened.
I'm sure
my brother had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Because I think at that point we were still sharing a room, and he was not thrilled about having a life-size cardboard cutout of Zayn Malik from One Direction in his room.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah.
He didn't end up like drawing a mustache on him or anything.
Didn't deface him at all.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Some self control.
Yeah. Right. Some. Yeah. He still would. I think he would still like punch him and stuff.
Nice.
And I think that's how he wound up in half.
That tracks.
I think mine actually eventually wound up breaking as well. Because we used him as an extra in our really like chaotic parody videos that we used to make and put on YouTube. We used to like dress him up for the holidays and stuff. Like there's a Harry Potter parody that my friend Rachel and I did to a Kesha song. where our life-size Taylor Lautner played several roles, including Mad-Eye Moody. Where we like we made this big red looking eyeball out of paper and just taped it over one of his eyes and put like a strap on it. He played I think he also played Grop, which was like Hagrid's half brother giant.
Right.
Yeah, he played many roles.
Yeah.
in our shenanigans. He was a pirate in one of our videos, not the Harry Potter one.
Do you still have any of that footage?
Oh yeah, they're all available on YouTube. Like, they're out there. Yeah.
That's fun.
I don't remember what the username is. I think we called the it's so chaotic and cringy and funny. The Harry Potter parody is called like Stupefy was the name of it. It was like Stupefy Harry Potter Kesha parody or something like that. And then we did do one for Twilight where the whole song, it was a parody of the song Hey Soul Sister by Train. But it was from the point of view of Edward, who really, really wanted to eat Bella. And so like in the we made music videos for the parody that I wrote. And so Bella, who was played by my friend Rachel, keeps showing up in these scenes dressed in a big hot dog costume. And then at the end of the music video, we have our Edward, who was my friend Eric, cutting up a hot dog and just eating.
That's awesome.
We had a lot of goofy fun. See, I'm sure those are, they're somewhere on YouTube if you can try and find them. They're embarrassing, but we had so much fun.
Someone is definitely going to find them.
Yeah.
I hope you know that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. They're out there. Oh, man.
1 million views.
The Harry Potter one actually got like 100,000 views or something.
Wow.
Yeah, like people really, they either really liked it or they were just talking in the comments about me and Rachel.
Right.
But like, it was a lot of fun.
Do you ever upload any YouTube videos?
Nope.
Smart.
Nope. Thankfully, I didn't adopt smartphones until I was old enough to know not to record myself.
Yeah. So. I don't think we never put up videos like with our faces in it.
Mm-hmm.
But Aiden.
Aiden.
He made a video of, we used to pretend that the garage was haunted.
Yes. Yes. Haunted Garage.
Haunted Garage. And I think that's literally what it's titled on YouTube, is Haunted Garage. And it's just like, he's like, I'm in this garage and I think it's haunted. And he's like at this door. And then he opens it. And then my brother's on the other door and he just slams it really quickly. And he's like, oh my God. And that's the entire video.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Are there any YouTube videos of you, Kim? Oh, yeah.
Just the ones that you've uploaded, like, purposefully.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's, like, we have our How Do I channel.
Yes.
Yeah. That we haven't made a video for in, what, 4 years?
Something like that.
Yeah. But still getting views.
Nice.
Yeah.
I thought of a suggestion for your How Do I channel a couple weeks ago, and I'm just now remembering it.
Mm.
I would love to see How Do I use the vacuums at the end of the car wash.
Oh,
like,
okay, that's a good idea.
This is embarrassing for me to admit. I have no idea how to use those things.
I can go with you.
Oh my God.
And show you. We can make the video.
I'll make together. The video with you. Heck
yes.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
I like it.
And
stay
we can
tuned.
Also vacuum my car.
Stay tuned. Oh, yeah.
Really needs it. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to, can I, are we good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Should we sign off or?
Oh.
I think it'd be funny if we just like end it.